Now, here is an issue that is very close to my heart, and I adore the elderly. I adore our senior citizens, like I adore my pets, like I adore my family and some of my colleagues. Be having a good day. just joking. But anyway, they senior citizens are there to be honored. They are there to be looked after when they cannot take care of themselves. And that is our way of how we say thank you to them, and we honor them and we take care of them. Now, during COVID-19, I think senior citizens in the world, and I think of Italy in particular, where they had quite a large elderly population, came off the worst with regards to COVID-19 and the spread of that virus. So you had huge death tolls amongst the more senior population. We had our own tragedies here in South Africa. Although people say it was one of the most brutal lockdowns in the world, I still believe that it helped us to control and get to this point. But with that comes a huge amount of stress on our elderly folk and those folk who are living in long-term residential care facilities, old age homes, in retirement estates, etc., etc. But those folk who are finding themselves almost isolated from their families because it's necessary, because they are vulnerable, and they need to be taken care of. Then you have the staff of these long-term residential facilities who need to comply with the law, or else action will be taken against them. But then you have the family members, and understandably so. It's a very emotional time because we want to be with our parents if they are in elderly care. We want to be with our grandparents, etc., etc. But COVID-19 really just turned everything upside down, inside out, and it changed the reality and the norm as we know it. So as a result, there's been growing tension between what from where I'm sitting, and my observations have been, and I've seen a couple of stories in the media where family members are, I feel, attacking long-term residential care facilities for the elderly and the staff. And I feel it's not justified, but there are certain problems that are arising, and there are certain questions that the healthcare professionals who run these retirement homes need to be held accountable to, and they need to answer certain questions, because maybe we are so protective, we become overprotective, that we push the families aside, and it's in this time that the older folk need us as their younger family members around them. So I had a conversation. I've had a couple of emails, well, not emails, just comments made to me, where some people feel aggrieved as to how the situation by certain homes are kind of being exacerbated and making it worse when they hold the families and the elderly people apart. Now, Narina Gardens Retirement Center, they're based in Fishhook. They specialize in elder care. And some of the complaints were about Narina Garden Center, where they said, where some family members said, you know, they're not allowing us to see our family members. They're not allowing us to take them out for the day. But there is good reason. And I want to welcome this morning Sister Sandy, who is the manager of the Narina Elderly Care, Narina Gardens Retirement Village, also Carlisle Lodge, who joins me on the studio this morning. Sister Sandy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeremy. I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for joining us. It's not an easy conversation to have because these are complex issues we are dealing with. But it's also presenting professionals like yourselves who are responsible for people in your care with quite a few challenges. Will you just briefly explain to us what are some of the challenges you are facing as staff who ultimately take responsibility for the health and well-being of your residents?
I think it's been a huge stress on the staff, I have to say that, is that, you know, we come to work every day with the sole desires to protect the residents, but yet we have families at home as well. And so obviously we need to keep ourselves locked down, restricted in our movements so that we protect our residents. The stress, I think, comes on both sides, but mainly because of the fear of COVID. You know, we can't take it away. It hasn't gone away. So we're trying to live COVID-adapted lives. And the residents have really, they've battled through, but they've done exceptionally well, have been fully cooperative. They are getting a little restless, I have to admit, and I don't think they realize how the world has changed outside and that the shopping malls are not quite the same as they know them, and sitting in a coffee shop is not as safe as it used to be. And so we've had to try and create a world for them within Narina Gardens. We have a range from cottages, flats, independent living, right through to frail care and the dementia unit, which has made it extremely difficult because those that are active could possibly have gone out earlier and maybe done a shopping trip a week. But we all mix and we socialize together. So, you know, having the risk of the frail care within the same unit is very difficult. And so possibly we've been extremely careful.
Right.
But it's for good reason.
Absolutely. Sandy, now, some of the concerns that were raised around Narina Gardens Retirement Village, your stance on keeping your residents safe and keeping them separated from their families is necessary, but some of the family members of some of the residents feel that the approach that was taken by your management is that it was too harsh and that it was too restrictive and rigid and too regimental. What do you say to that?
I think the fact that, you know, we've now gone for 14 weeks COVID-free, and I think it's just shown to us that this is the way we had to go. We have become a lot more flexible. We've allowed window visits, what we, you know, we've termed it window visits ourselves. The gate visits have happened from very early on, where there's been a distance and the families would stand at the gate and the residents would stand 2 meters away and be able to have their conversations. That's gone, that has happened from the beginning. We locked down on the 18th of March, so that's been happening for a long time. We've introduced balcony visits for those in the frail unit. So the families actually come onto the property and can talk in, you know, the resident in on the balcony. Mm. We've had Zoom chats. Palliative care visits have been allowed if there was anybody that we were concerned about in their health. The families were allowed to come in for a visit. You know, and that is sort of where we've been able to go to at this point. As soon as the Department of Social Development put out a circular saying that we could have planned visits, we have allowed that, and so the families are able to book appointments. And then we have rooms allocated. We just have the screen. The relatives need to just have a screening and temperature taken before they come in to the building. And then they're allowed a half-hour, three-quarter-hour visit with their loved one in the same room but with a screen between them.
Continue.
No, I was just saying, so that's where we've gone. I have sent an email on to you, which the families and the relatives, the residents have not received as yet. It was due to be released at 12 o'clock to say that there are changes coming and that they will be allowed visiting in their families' homes. But obviously, just being very careful, very restrictive, and the responsibility now needs to go on to the families if they take them out for a day.
But how does that... And here's where I feel for the staff. Okay, I'm trying to be as objective as possible, but I also want to be reasonable. Because if I had a mom at Narina and the staff is saying to me, listen, Jeremy, for you know where we're at in terms of COVID-19, you can see mom once a week for an hour, or no, we're not allowing you to see mom for the next 3 weeks because we have concerns about what is happening at the moment. I would understand that. Do you think some family members, and I'm not just talking about family members of your residence, but in general, do you think the public fully appreciates the dangers that actually face our elderly population?
You know, I think in the beginning, everybody was very aware, not only of themselves, but particularly the elderly. But as time has gone on, we have got, I would say, complacent, and we're so used to it. That as, call us younger people, I probably don't fit in that category, but as younger people, the risk is so different. We're moving about doing our own business. Our residents have not left the property, but I can tell you that they haven't been in touch with flus and colds, and we've had no flu issues this month, this season, beg your pardon. And so, you know, the risks of everyone outside with all their germs and bugs and viruses is very, very real. Homes at the moment across Cape Town, I can't tell you how many, but I know for one definite there are cases still happening. And the fear of each one of us when we know that there's a COVID case, and one often becomes two and it's so easily spread. So, you know, we have just done all we can to protect the residents and opened little doors as we've been able to, allowing the balcony visits and allowing the other things that we spoke of. So it has been difficult. To be honest, there have been folks that have been sort of very angry in their response to our rules that we've laid down.
But I think those rules, Sandy, are those rules... Obviously, you work in that environment on a daily basis, so you are the expert, and you would know what works best. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration, and that needs to be respected. Do you think the communication between yourselves as a management of Narina Gardens and Carlisle Lodge has been effective enough to explain to them why sometimes what they perceive as harsh and militant and rigid is necessary to save a life or to stop someone from contracting COVID-19? Because do you think the communication has been done effectively?
Yeah, we have done our best to communicate by email because there are 154 residents. So there's a lot of families to deal with individually. Many are not in the country. Many are overseas. And so, yes, we've done our best to communicate by email. And truly, I've spent many, many, many hours on the telephone just trying to answer and put people at rest and just answer their questions as to why we're doing what we're doing. And, you know, I hope they do come to understand. I think, to be honest, Jeremy, at this stage, the families tend to be looking in and saying, I've missed 6.5 months of my elderly father's life, and we don't know how long they're going to be with us. And this I do understand. You know, I have the opportunity of being with them every day. I see them every day. But for the families, they're fearing losing the 6.5, 7, 8, 9 months, whatever it's going to become. And so they do need to see them. And that's why we've encouraged the visits. And hopefully when we get to them going home, going to the families for 4-day visits, that this will make a difference.
How do you deal with, or what kind of support is given, for argument's sake, if you do allow one of your residents to visit with the family for the day? So obviously they need to come back. They need to go into isolation.
Well, not if it's a day visit, Jeremy. If it's a day visit.
Yes.
We're asking the families to wear masks unless they're eating or drinking, and just to keep the group small, we're asking that they give us contact numbers of everyone that was in the group, that should there be a COVID develop, that or the Department of Health would do the visits.
Sure.
But so if it's longer than a day, we would ask that either they have a COVID test, you know, but 2 days is so difficult. So it would be a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
And they have their test or they need to isolate for the 7 days.
And when they isolate, if it's necessary to isolate them for that 7 days, what kind of psychological and emotional support is given to them apart from, and I believe some, and I can understand why some elderly people need to be put on antidepressants because it's been a depressing time and they don't understand fully the changes around them. So what kind of psychological and emotional support and treatment, therapeutically speaking, is in place at Narina Gardens and Carlisle Lodge for your residents?
Look, every day a person that's in isolation will be visited 3, 4, 5 times a day by the nursing staff. So they wouldn't be isolated completely. They would be seen. And we would obviously just keep a check on them. And once the 7 days are up, they immediately join back in. We've got a very busy social program. That's everything from movies, Sunday church service, line dancing. We take the folk on a walking bus around the perimeter. There's a spaza shop, a hairdresser. So they immediately slot back into that. But while they're in isolation, our nursing staff are very diligent in checking up on them and making sure they're okay.
Do you think that the sector, the long-term residential and old age home, frail care facilities, elderly care, do you think the sector has missed an opportunity or maybe hasn't attached too much importance in terms of introducing a psychotherapy into their daily programs in general as a way and means to help the elderly cope? Because I would imagine if we're talking about a new normal, then managements and staffs and staff and professionals like yourselves would then have to almost introduce that therapeutic element where it's not business as usual. So we are now sending you for weekly therapy sessions to a psychologist. And I know that can have cost implications by itself. But do you think we're missing out on that point?
To be very honest, our folks have really adapted, I think, a lot better than anyone imagined. And we have a happy group. I did an exercise group this morning between 9 and 10. And I asked, you know, everyone feeling well? And all of them have been out walking. We've got beautiful grounds. We're very privileged with that. And you see people walking out all day and, you know, going in, out, and mixing with each other. There's the new friendships that have been formed between our cottage folk and our residents in the flats. It's been absolutely amazing to see how they have become a family. And they don't want that to end. So, we're hoping to just keep our social program going as it is now. It's very busy. There's music mornings where they all just sit and listen to one of the residents playing the piano.
Okay.
Those are the things that we're able to help them just, enjoy life. That's
okay.
What it's about.
Okay. Sandy is the manager of Narina Gardens. It's a retirement village. It's care for the elderly. I've got Vanessa in Mitchell's Plain who wants to make a comment. Good morning, Vanessa.
Hi. Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Sandy. I would just like to find out from Sandy, how would you isolate a dementia patient if they went out with a family for a day? My other concern is that families are not going to be upfront with the amount of people that they've had at the house, most probably because they'll be scared they won't be able to take their grandmother or their mother out again. So I'm just worried that if they take them out for the day, they have a little party, they come back, they've mixed with people as your facility. You don't know who they've mixed with. And they put the not just the other residents in your home at risk, but they also put the staff at risk. So that's just my concern. I don't know how it's going to work. I just hope that you can actually manage the visits that you planning to allow the families to have to take their mother or their grandmother out for the day.
Sandy, your comment to that?
Yeah, hi Vanessa. I'm in total agreement, but we have to place the responsibility with the families. And we will be asking them to sign an agreement. But we've also had to say in the same email that should there be even one case, we'll have to do a lockdown straight away to protect, all the other residents. As far as the dementia goes, we're not allowing them to leave because you cannot isolate a dementia patient. We haven't actually taken any new people in because we can't bring them in and then isolate them. That would really be terrible for them.
Vanessa, you wanted to add something in closing?
Yeah, even with letting the resident out and then coming back, there's a ripple effect. So even if families sign indemnities, you're going to have to deal with the fallout. If they come back and they test positive, and then you have your whole facility that's at risk again.
I know, and this is a difficulty in making these decisions. But at what point do we just lock these folk down and, you know, don't allow them? We're not allowing them to restaurants and shops. We're asking that the families don't do that because that's probably even a bigger risk. They should know if they've been in contact with anyone with COVID or any flus or colds, and we're asking them that they don't take the resident there. It's really, I can't say it's an experiment because I don't want to put it that way, but it's something we've had to make a decision, and we're going to start it, and we'll just have to see where we go. And it's got to be a matter of trust and just hope and pray that the families take that responsibility on for themselves. We've been holding it for these last months, and I think that they have felt that we've kept them out of it, out of those decisions, which probably we have been, trying to manage a home such as this. But now we want to bring them into that responsibility so that it's not just ours, that they can go out, but we just appeal to them to be careful.
To be careful and be honest, because that is what you would need from family is honesty.
Absolutely.
Sister Sandy Lovick is the manager at the Narina Gardens Retirement Village, also Carlisle Lodge. Sister Sandy, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. We really appreciate your time and all the best going forward, okay?